I want to focus our attention this morning on Yom Kippur, the essence of Yom Kippur. In the Torah, primarily in Leviticus, Vayikra, chapter 16, the Creator instructed His chosen nation how to observe Yom Kippur, so that we could receive atonement on this very special day. And I am going to summarize exactly what God commanded us to do. Usually any priest could offer the sacrifices, but on Yom Kippur, only the high priest could offer the special Yom Kippur sacrifices. First, the high priest washed himself with water. After washing, he did not put on his splendid garments of the high priest, but simple white linen garments, so that he could appear before God in simplicity, humility, purity. Then he killed a bull for a sin offering to atone for himself and his priestly family. Then he cast lots to choose between two goats. One of the goats would be sacrificed, and one would be the Azazel scapegoat that was driven into the wilderness bearing the sins of the chosen people. Then he took coals from the bronze altar and brought them into the holy place and used them to burn incense on the golden altar in the holy place, so that a cloud of incense would enter the most holy place, the very special place where God most powerfully manifested his presence on earth. The cloud of incense would obscure the presence of the glory of God from his view. Then he took the blood of the bull and he sprinkled it on the ark cover and seven times before the ark. In this way, the holy place received atonement. The holy place was in close proximity to the sins of the people, and so it too needed atonement once a year on this day, Yom Kippur. Then he went outside the holy place, killed the goat for the sin offering for the people, and then he brought its blood into the most holy place and sprinkled its blood on the ark cover and seven times before the ark. Then he sprinkled the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat on the bronze altar, which was outside the holy place, to atone for the altar that atoned for the sins of Israel. The bronze altar, you see, was in close proximity to the sins of the people, and it too needed atonement once a year on Yom Kippur. Then the high priest laid his hands on the head of that second goat, the Azazel scapegoat, and confessed the sins of the Jewish people onto the goat, symbolically transferring our sins to the goat, which now became our sin bearer. And then it was sent into the wilderness to die, carrying away all of our sins with it. Then the high priest took off his white linen clothing, bathed again, put on the special, beautiful garments of the high priest and killed and burned a ram for himself. This burnt offering was a prayer of dedication for himself. He was again fully dedicated to the God of Israel. Then he killed and burned another ram, which was a prayer of dedication for the nation of Israel. The Jewish people were once again fully dedicated to God. Then he burned the fat of the sin offering on the bronze altar, which I think meant the fat of the bull that had been killed earlier and the fat of the goat which had been killed earlier. Then the man who took the scapegoat into the wilderness bathed before he could re-enter the city. He had been in close proximity to sin, and so he needed to be purified. Then everything that remained of the bull and the goat were taken outside of the city and burned. Then those who burned them, who had been in close proximity to sin, had to bathe before they could re-enter the city. They needed to be purified. In addition to these special Yom Kippur observances, the regular sacrifices for that day were offered, along with other Yom Kippur sacrifices. One bull, one ram, seven male lambs, and their grain offerings, fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. In addition, we were instructed not to work on this very special day and afflict ourselves, humble ourselves, which has been understood to mean to deny ourselves food and other pleasures. But the intent for that is to undergo spiritual humbling, spiritual affliction, making yourself poor in spirit. According to the Torah, these are the commands for Yom Kippur. This is what God commanded the Jewish people to do on Yom Kippur so that we can receive atonement. Doing anything other than this does not bring atonement. And since the temple was destroyed and the Kohanim, the priests, are not offering any sacrifices on Yom Kippur, it is clear that the nation of Israel is without atonement. But there is good news. God is merciful. God is gracious. God did not leave the chosen nation without atonement. In fact, he provided a new and better way of atonement, not just for Israel, but for all the nations of the world. Messiah Yeshua is a better priest who serves in a better temple. He offers a better sacrifice. He's the mediator of a better covenant with better promises. He gives us greater access to God. He makes better atonement. Our high priest is a better high priest. The high priests of Israel were men who were fallible. They sinned. They needed to atone for their own sins. But we have a better high priest. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet he never once sinned, never failed, never did anything wrong. He is holy, he is blameless, he is pure, he is perfect, he is set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He is a better high priest. The priesthood of Israel came from Aaron, the brother of Moses. But we have a high priest who is from a superior priesthood, the priesthood that comes from Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem, who was greater than Abraham and everyone who came from Abraham, including Aaron. Abraham acknowledged this superiority when he gave 10% of his spoils to Melchizedek, this mysterious priest and king, and was blessed by Melchizedek. And we know that the lesser is blessed by the greater. We have a better high priest. The high priests of Israel were weak, mortal men who died. But our high priest is the risen Messiah and the Son of God and the all-powerful Lord of heaven and earth who will never die. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to make intercession for them. Our high priest is a better priest. Our high priest serves in a better temple. The high priest of Israel served in a beautiful temple, but it was imperfect. It was made by imperfect, sinful creatures. Every Yom Kippur, the temple itself needed atonement, which teaches us that it was imperfect. Because that temple was imperfect, it could only provide imperfect atonement. Makes sense, right? However, there is another temple, the temple which is in heaven, a temple made not by imperfect creatures, but by the perfect Creator. That temple in heaven is perfect, and that is the temple in which our high priest serves. Therefore, that perfect temple is able to provide perfect atonement. Our high priest serves in a better temple. Our high priest offers a better sacrifice. The sacrifices offered by the high priests of Israel were limited in their effectiveness. Since human beings are more valuable than animals, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and pigeons to take away our sins. If the sacrifices of these animals could provide full and final atonement, they wouldn't have needed to be repeated. But they were repeated year after year, decade after decade, century after century after century. From the time of Moses, roughly 1500 BC, until 70 AD, when the sacrifices stopped, rivers of blood were shed. There was a continual slaughter of bulls, goats, lambs, rams, pigeons, day after day, Sabbath after Sabbath, month after month, holiday after holiday, year after year, century after century. I once calculated the approximate number of animals that were required to be killed over that period of time, from the time of Moses till 70 AD. And the total number of animals that were killed is astounding. approximately 171,000 bulls, 48,000 goats, 55,500 rams, and if the population of the Jewish people remained fairly consistent over the centuries, 300 million lambs. This number of animals that were killed does not include the animals that were killed by individuals making their individual sin offerings, burnt offerings, peace offerings. But our high priest is a perfect man and the Son of God. He is better than the bulls, the goats, the rams, the lambs, the pigeons. Therefore, his one sacrifice of himself is of infinite value and infinite effectiveness and is able to completely take away our sins. His one sacrifice of himself never needs to be repeated. It is finished. Our high priest offers a better sacrifice. Our high priest is the mediator of a better covenant that has better promises. The high priests of Israel were mediators of the Sinai covenant. But that covenant only contained a shadow of the good things to come, not the substance of those good things, not the reality of those good things, just the shadow. The Sinai covenant could not bring us to the goal. Otherwise, there would have been no need for another covenant. But there is another covenant, Messiah's new covenant. Our high priest is the mediator of a new and better covenant, which gives us the reality of the good things that the Sinai covenant merely foreshadowed. The new covenant has better promises. All of our sins are completely forgiven. Our old nature dies, and we receive a new godly nature. We are able to be very close to God because the Spirit of God takes up residence in us now and forever. He gives us a new understanding, new desires to please God, new power to do what is right and avoid doing what is wrong. We become the actual sons and daughters of Almighty God, and there is no position greater in the universe than to be a son or daughter of God. We become God's heirs, recipients of an amazing and eternal inheritance. We become members of a new, united humanity. We will be raised from the dead. We will live forever. Our high priest is the mediator of a better covenant that has better promises. Our high priest gives us better access to God. The God of Israel is Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 infinitely holy. Humanity, on the other hand, is unkadosh. I don't know if there is such a word, but there is now. We are unkadosh. We are unholy. Our lack of holiness prevents us from getting close to this infinitely holy God. Our lack of holiness severely limits our access to this holy God. This is seen very clearly in the laws about Yom Kippur. Of all mankind, only one man, the high priest of Israel, could enter the most holy place, the most special place on earth where God most powerfully manifested his presence on earth. The high priest was only allowed to enter the most holy place on one day, Yom Kippur, and he was only allowed access to the presence of God on earth by washing himself with water, wearing special clothing, killing animals, sprinkling their blood, and burning incense to prevent him from gazing on the presence of the infinitely holy God. Access to God was very severely limited because God is holy and we are unholy. But our high priest opened up a new and living way for all of humanity to get close to God. So close that God can be in us and we can be in him. We can be united to the Son, who is united to the Father, so that we are united to the Father and to the Son. The Spirit of the Father and the Son can himself live in us now and forever, giving us the greatest access to God. Our high priest gives us better access to God. This Yom Kippur, let's rejoice that we have a better priest who serves in a better temple, who offers a better sacrifice, who is the mediator of a better covenant, that has better promises, who gives us better access to God, who gives us better atonement. And if we know these truths, let's keep them in our minds and share these precious truths first with the Jewish people who desperately need to know these truths and also with everyone else. Amen.